भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सगणानुगुणान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सगणानुलिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 26, The Hellish Planets, Text 16 and 17. So this is prose, I'll read the translation. In his next life, a sinful king or governmental representative who punishes an innocent person or who inflicts corporal punishment upon a brahmana is taken by Yamdutas to the hell named Sukar Mukha, where the most powerful assistants of Yamraj crush him exactly as one crushes sugar cane to squeeze out the juice. I was thinking, so we know sugar cane juice dates back to at least 5,000 years. But at least it is authentic that sugar cane juice is mentioned. The sinful living entity cries very pitiably and faints, just like an innocent man undergoing punishments. This is the result of punishing a faultless person. By the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, low-grade living beings like bugs and mosquitoes suck the blood of human beings and other animals. Such significant creatures are unaware that their bites are painful to the human being. However, first-class human beings, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are developed in consciousness and therefore they know how painful it is to be killed. A human being endowed with knowledge certainly commits sins if he kills or torments insignificant creatures who have no discrimination. The Supreme Lord punishes such a man by putting him into the hell known as Andhakoop, where he is attacked by all the birds and beasts, reptiles, mosquitoes, lice, worms, flies and any other creatures he tormented during his life. They attack him from all sides, robbing him of the pleasure of sleep. Unable to rest, he constantly wanders about in darkness. Thus in Andhakoop, his suffering is just like that of a creature in lower species. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. From this very instructive verse, we learn that lower animals created by the laws of nature to disturb the human being are not subjected to punishment. Because a human being has developed consciousness, however, he cannot do anything against the principles of Varnashram Dharma without being condemned. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnya Maya Sishtam Guna Karma Vibhakasham. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. Thus, all men should be divided into four classes, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, and they should act according to their ordained regulations. They cannot deviate from the prescribed rules and regulations. One of these states that they should never trouble any animal, even those that disturb human beings. Although a tiger is not sinful if he attacks another animal and eats its flesh, if a man with developed consciousness does so, he must be punished. In other words, a human being who does not use his developed consciousness but instead acts like an animal surely undergoes punishment in many different hells. So as I was reading, I was remembering all the rats I have dissected in my 12th class part of my biology practicals. And every day, Anandimaya Prabhu tells me, don't kill mosquito, don't kill cockroaches. Because the moment I see them, I would... So, I think because of Krishna desire, Radha Madan Gopal Prabhu changed my day of class and I had to read this. So, yesterday I again stopped killing mosquitoes and so I put a spray on my body so that they do not bite me. And if I see cockroaches, I catch them and throw them out of the window. So, I had forgotten this. And So here it is mentioned that first Shloka 16, punishing the innocent or the faultless person. That point is mentioned. And second aspect is mentioned to kill these creatures, like, you know, ants, cockroaches. Mosquitoes and flies and who do not know what they are doing and why they are doing. And Prabhupada is also discussing that how Prabhupada says that as human beings, we should not deviate from the prescribed rules and regulations, and should not even trouble animals, should not kill animals even if they disturb human beings. Although tiger, Prabhupada, may not sinfully attack another animal and eats its flesh, if a man with developed consciousness does so, he must be punished. So very instructive and alarming verses. So he has discussed how human beings, though they have developed consciousness, how they do not use it properly. So here is discussed about troubling, punishing animals who trouble us. Now what if we trouble even other human beings? And so I will discuss this first, and then I'll discuss how from this we evolve to the point of God consciousness. And then for those who are God consciousness, for them it's even important to take care of the offenses. So first I'll share some what Prabhupada shares about on this aspect. So in Prabhupada, one of the places he mentions that we should not go mad or give up our duty just because mosquitoes bite us. He says we have so many dualities we have to tolerate, but if the mind is fixed in Krishna consciousness, all these dualities will seem insignificant. And how we do that, he quotes Bhagavad Gita 6.8. Gyan vigyan triptatma kutasto vijitendriya yukta ittuchate yogi sama loshtrama kanchana. The person who is self-realized, who is a yogi, and he has acquired knowledge, he is, you know, situated in the state of self-realization, he's self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it's pebbles, stones or gold, as the same. So he's able to see presence of Krishna in mosquito also. So one, in a conversation in Vrindavan, one Prabhupada disciple asked me, Prabhupada, what if the part and parcel of Krishna is very much in ignorance and is trying to take away your prasadam, or is trying to bite you or something like that? Prabhupada said, you take care. So he asked Panchadravida Prabhu, you can defend? That's all. But But you must see that he is part and parcel. And Prabhupada gives a very striking example. He says, just like your child, suppose he is doing something mischievous, do you discard him? You take care of him and you take care that the child may not commit any mischief. That is your duty. But you cannot say, because this child is creating some disturbance, cut his throat. So you cannot say that. So like, when we heard example of some people that they saw a rat or a cockroach walking on a DT. They said, oh, this Lord cannot take care of himself. But how will he protect us? But then the devotees say, for the Lord, the cockroach and the rat are also his child. So he likes them playing on them. So similarly here, Prabhupada is saying, you do not cut the throat of the child. But then another devotee said, phew. So if there are mosquitoes who are troubling, same. Same? Yes, if there is mosquitoes, you have a mosquito. It says carton. I think Prabhupada is referring to that mosquito net. But you cannot kill them. So when I shifted to our room, first thing I was give away was my mosquito net. Abhay Gaurang Prabhu needed. No, I think I have to get it back. So Prabhupada thinks that is the principle. And Prabhupada says, you take precautions because you have got human brain. So he is actually referring to prevention. Do prevention rather than killing. You take precaution that they may not create mischief. But they, by nature, they have a body of like that. But because they have a different body, you cannot kill them. So Prabhupada is saying, killing means he has been given a body to undergo the imprisonment for certain time. And if you kill them, you prolong the time he has to again accept that body. So you become criminal therefore. Because you are checking in his business. Now he has to fulfill his time in a species. By nature's way, he has been engaged in a certain type of business. If you kill, he is not killed, but he has to take another body. Therefore, you are checking his progress. Just like you cannot interfere with any prisoner, anyone prisoner that is criminal. So, this is what Prabhupada is saying. So, it's very striking that Prabhupada is saying you are impeding their, the mosquito was bound to become fly, but I killed him. So he has to again, a newly born mosquito, his mother asked him, go fly, have a tour. So he came back, mother asked, how was the experience? He said, oh, wonderful, everyone was clapping, So we impede the progress of because except human beings, all the species are bound for evolution. Like a mosquito may evolve to a fly, or a fly to a honeybee, or then to a sparrow, whatever. But by killing them, we are creating a barrier in their journey. Another place in Tehran, Prabhupada says, in the material world, there cannot be any peace, justice and morality. It is not possible. You may try to make some adjustment, but it will never be possible. So by their concocted imagination, they are thinking this way will be beneficial. But unless they come to spiritual platform, there is no question of peace, prosperity, justice. So he is saying that, Prabhupada says, so why he is saying that? So that people may attempt, to design something. The scientists, philosophers, politicians, religionists to make some adjustment. He gives an example. To get out of the disturbance created by mosquitoes and the flies, we are trying our best. But they are still disturbing. Is it not? So they find out some loopholes and go into the room and disturb you. So you cannot avoid. Similarly, the disturbance of nature, the severe cold, scorching heat, how can you counteract it? So Prabhupada here is actually recommending to cultivate spiritual knowledge and tolerate these disturbances. Because how even I was thinking, you know, how it's so natural, you know, if I feel mosquito, like thak, the hand moves, you know, that is how. So there is, what is the purpose of cultivating knowledge? So it's difficult, well, at least for me to, but Prabhupada is saying, okay, you know, for me, okay, not killing a human being or that is something, but killing a mosquito or a cockroach, but Prabhupada is saying that nobody is free from material disturbance, that is not possible. So if you actually want freedom from material disturbances, you have to come to spiritual platform. So when that is a part of cultivating spiritual knowledge. So then again a conversation with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. There is about mosquitoes, Prabhupada is saying. So they are disturbing still, you cannot kill them, that is your position. But people are with fit, killing thousands of mosquitoes and flies. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj asks, we shouldn't kill them, but if they are biting you right in the process of biting you, Prabhupada says, Then again he asks, suppose a mosquito is biting you and sucking the blood. Yes, when they bite you can kill. According to the laws of nature. But on the whole you cannot kill. You cannot invent means. Therefore mosquito curtain. Prevention. Prevention is better than cure. They are meant for that purpose God has made. So instead of killing them, you protect yourself. But if you are in the service of the Lord, you are not responsible. So this is what Prabhupada is telling about. Some 2-3 places what Prabhupada is instructing to his disciples. So then if we look at this purport, I think I discussed that when my father passed away, we had at home this Garuda Puran reading and this Panditji was reading all the hells and my sister-in-law was laughing that and she was asking, is it true? Aisa sach mein hota hai kya? And you know, why? So here it's mentioned about hells. So I was thinking, what is the purpose of the law of karma? Because karmic reactions are often compared with punishment by an authority. So people think, you know, as if Krishna is like a judge sitting there to, you know, see what have we done and then punish us. So karma is not a purposeless law. It is twofold. One purpose is to maintain morality and harmony within the society. Because when we know, okay, if we do this, we'll get punished. We refrain from doing something which is not allowed. So the scriptures explain very clearly, if one engages in a forbidden act, one has to suffer the consequences of that. It is not true that people suffer from karma without knowing the reason for it. Even in physics we were taught here. What is the rule? For every action there is equal and opposite reaction. So that is the and you know, we can see that still there are many criminals who get punished, who know the reason for it, yet they commit the crime again. In the same way, one can extrapolate that if one knew the specific punishment coming from a specific karma, there is no guarantee that the person would rectify him. So people want to know, Mujib, I want to know what have I done that I am getting this punishment. But it is not, Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4 that karmana gahano gati. It is very difficult, the karma is very complicated. We have lived so many millions of lives. Just the experiences of this life are so difficult to handle. If I recall the fights, the arguments, whatever, everything, the difficulties I have gone through, they are a burden on the brain. Now if somebody wants to remember what I have done in past life, usse pichle life, and that life, that will be more painful to handle by our, and that's why Krishna doesn't let us remember that. So the other purpose, which is more important of karma, is to rectify a person and ultimately bring him to the knowledge of God. So it is not punishment, it is actually reformation. That is the purpose, that is the purpose these descriptions are given. And why is that so? Because because rectification doesn't happen only by punishment. Because if that were the case, crime would be non-existent out of fear of punishment. Everyone knows that if I murder, I'll go to jail. People still do murder. Everyone knows if I break the signal, I'll get punished. When we go from GEV to Mumbai, there is one spot there, this speedometer. And sometimes our drivers forget. And then 1 week later, we get challan. So, we know that it is not allowed, but we still do it. So, it is the understanding and the faith in Shastra that brings rectification. Because there are these people who do not believe in Shastra. They say, one life, iske baad kya hone wala? This life and it ends. They do not believe the descriptions given in the scripture, these hells do exist. Or they'll say that hell and heaven both exist here only, you know. That we have experiences, but they minimize it by saying that. So, if one does not have faith in law of karma, how can karma rectify it? Then karma cannot rectify it. That's why we need Shastra along with the law of karma. Both are needed. So, for example, if I am caught on a highway and punished without being aware of what is my mistake, I would continue to make the same mistake. But if I am aware that breaking, because I broke a traffic rule, I was being punished, then I may not repeat it. So therefore, along with karma, knowledge and practice of dharma is also required, because karma is very complicated. So without dharma, karma cannot be understood. You know, where is popular karma? I think the word is now in English dictionary also. So, unless we read under a teacher, we do not know what it means. People come here and they say, "Hum karma yogi hai." But when we read our books, we know karma yogi nahi, karmi hai. So karma yogi and karmi is different. Doing hum bas karma mein vishwas rakhte hain. So karma yogi and karmi is different. So karma is, you know, becomes karma yoga when based on dharma. So if the dharma is missing, then it will have no impact on the people. So some people believe that if they could remember the past deeds from which one is suffering at present, it would help him or her not to engage in the same act. So imagine somebody was, you know, murdered in past life, being cheated, stabbed. How many lives would one remember? 1, 5, 10, 100, 1000? Because our material conditioning has no beginning. Bhagavad Gita chapter 13, it says, our existence is anadi, beginningless. So I was in Bhakti Shastri classes, the devotee was asking, so when did it start? As if Krishna is saying anadi, that we are also anadi and Maya is also anadi. That means our association is also anadi. But our mind, because we want everything, you know, very clear. So we want to know, are kab shuru hua, you know, when was I pushed into the well? But scriptures have this answer, anadi. We do not know when our association started. So we don't know how many lives we have lived, how many times as humans we were born, and before that how many animal species, and you know, or maybe many pralayas. So we still not delivered again after again. I'm getting born and born and born. So how many memories I will handle? So it is Krishna's compassion that he made us forget. And then somebody may have another argument. He'll say, but there are many people who do not know about Shastra. Now I give tour to Indian people who come here. So they do not know Bhagavad Gita, they do not know Mahabharat, they don't know. Actually, well, I was thinking, no, Indians know, but they also don't know. They don't know. So if they have no knowledge of Shastra, they know that every action has some result. Even if people do not know about Shastra, they know every action has some result. They know the basic moral principles of being truthful, non-violent, not deceiving others, not stealing. So people in general do not make, you know, proper use of their discriminative faculty, buddhi. They are more or less enamored by the sense pleasure. So even if they know, they will act upon the same thing. So even in absence of Shastra, people know that we don't have to do things, we don't have to cheat somebody, we don't have to kill somebody, we don't have to engage in this. I remember, you know, like Delhi, some of neighbors who eat non-veg, when they'll bring meat to their home, they'll bring it in a black bag. Why? Why do you think so? Why not transparent? See, even they eat non-veg, they still feel guilty about it, you know. Those who eat, they have some guilt related to that. That's why, you know, all non-veg shops, they keep a black bag to give meat. At least in India, I think not in West. West, it's very transparent. But in India, it's, you know, I was with Future Group, so I remember they had this. So they're originally owned by a Marwadi person, so they will not sell liquor and meat. Finally, the managers in the company convinced them. So it was an obscure corner in the mall would be chosen, you know, to, you know, liquor is still, you know, the fancy bottles, but meat has to be put in a place where rest of the people, you know, cannot see. So there is still some guilt connected. So people know they are doing wrong and they still do it. So even in the absence of Shastra, even in the absence of Shastra. So the basic principle is that even if how much can we explain somebody about karma? Because the cause and effect relationship can never give a satisfactory answer unless one accepts that it has to come to an end at some point. And what is that point is called? God. So when you accept God, you accept Shastra, the word of God. So by logic, you know, you'll find books supporting vegetarianism. But Prabhupada, if somebody tells Prabhupada, a guest said, Prabhupada, hum bhi vegetarian hai. Prabhupada says, you know, even a cow is vegetarian. Huh? What is your... But we eat prasad. Huh? That is the difference. So being... So by logic, vegetarianism, non-vegetarianism, there will always be a debate. So there will always be a debate, we should do this, we should not do this. Logic we cannot satisfy. I think all of us would have experienced in our life somebody taking up devotional service, that how much arguments you have. And I again saw that in all the Prabhupada biographies I've read. All the disciples of Prabhupada, it was not because of logic they took up to devotional service. It was someday, one of my favorite is Vishakha Mataji's 5 year, 11 months. And she's saying that she comes from a very agnostic family. But her heart changed when, like, once in Vrindavan, Prabhupada complimented her on wearing a sari. You know, those are the moments when they transition from somebody on the periphery to become and choosing to become an insider. That what melted their hearts. And so I have seen all these people, they took up devotional service because of Prabhupada's love, Prabhupada's care. Not philosophy was supporting, the jnana was supportive, but that did not make them change, you know, get this conviction to practice devotional service. So here, and that's why, you know, in English we may say philosophy, but in India, in Sanskrit, the word is darshan. You see the truth, you explain it logically as far as possible. But ultimately, logic has its limitations. So there is no point in arguing, because if it does not accept that Shabda is beyond logic, the Shabda Praman is beyond logic. Without accepting God and that God is Anadi, there is no solution. We're just pushing it back, you know, because that is the truth that we have to accept. God is Anadi, we are Anadi, and our connection with Maya is Anadi. So that also says, Jiva Goswami says, that okay, if Vidya, Avidya is, connection with Avidya is also beginningless, that means Vidya also exists. That means this ability to connect with God is also beginningless within us. Only we have to come to the right environment for it to blossom. So the karma theory will not ultimately explain this logically. Only, so the answer to this would be to, it is actually not logical, it is translogical, because it is based on the scriptures, Shabda. That's why even in the Tattva Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami rejects both Pratyaksha and Anuman in favor of Shabda. That Shabda is the most important. So now if somebody has done that, okay, that means we have accepted devotional service, we are chanting, that means we accept these principles and we accept the Shabda Praman as the highest. We may not know, but that is the... If we do not know, then we should know it, okay, that's why we are doing it. So now we have come to this point where we are practicing devotional service. So now we have to be careful of this sin, but now most important, because of our disposition towards Krishna, practicing devotional service, we have to be more careful of the offenses. Sins are many, they start from, you know, they happen every day, you unavoidable, you know. In cooking, in walking, you do not know where. Once, I remember when we were in this ashram, I would keep some water next to me in summers. Morning, I woke up, I drank it. I felt there is something granular in it. So when I switched on the light, it was full of red ants. And I had gulped few hundred ants also with the water. I could not, I drank the water in dark. So I didn't know like. So, these things can happen. So, but we have to take care of the offenses. So, there are five things that I assess from this, this discussion from Prabhupada and these two purpose. That one is we have to responsibly live in this world first. That how we engage, how we deal with, that is the aspect of sins. It may happen, but not intentionally killing, not intentionally even hurting people, and not planning to. This extends beyond animals. So now, the other four aspects are now, when you take up, that means you accept the law of karma, that means you accept Shabda Praman, you accept the God, you take up devotion, you have chanting. So, one thing is to lovingly deal with devotees. Second is attentive connection with the holy name, faithfully studying the scriptures, and fifth is careful assessment of our devotional life. So I'll elaborate these four things that if we are not careful, so this lack of inattention or not being careful then can cause offenses in our bhakti life also. So Madhurya Kadamani explains five results of this that can happen. These five, the prominent ones are, first is crookedness, second is faithlessness, third is absorption in objects that erodes one's faith in Bhagwan, fourth is slackness in devotion, and fifth is pride arising from one's own devotional service. So now, the first one is, I'll briefly touch on this and end it there. So the first one is Kautilya or the crookedness. The example that Jiva Goswami gives is Duryodhan. So what did Duryodhan do? We sing in this very famous bhajan. He wanted to serve Chappan Bhog to Krishna. to convince him. But Krishna rejected his hospitality because of his offensive attitude towards his devotees, or towards Krishna's devotees. So this is, to understand what crookedness is or not, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj in his book, he gives a very example. He says, Goloka means something like a football. A four right angle solid circle where there is no crookedness. Like it is circular, so it has no crookedness, no bend. That means how smooth, so absence of any deviation, any agenda that is missing. And that is also seen in the story of Satyakam Jabal. You heard that he went to Gautam Muni to study. And Gautam Muni what asked him, who is your father? And he said, I do not know who my father is. So then the reason Gautam Rishi initiated him, that this boy is free of crookedness. He didn't lie. He spoke truth. So we have to be very careful about not having any agendas, any crookedness in our dealing with devotees. We have to lovingly deal with them. A very striking example Jiva Goswami gives of a king named Shatadhanu and his wife Shaivya. So they were performing a Kartik Vrata. So one day they went to Ganga to take bath. And there was a heretic, means a person who doesn't believe in God, he blasphemes. But because he was the friend of his teacher, so King Shatadhanu, he spoke with him respectfully. But his wife did not. So as a result, so when both of them, he died in some time, his wife also, burned herself with the funeral pyre. So she was born as the daughter of the king of Kashi. And King Shatadhanu was born as a dog. For the only offense that he spoke with a person who disrespects Shastra lovingly while performing his Kartik Vrata. So this queen who she denied her father to marry and she found her last life husband as a dog. And even as a dog, she told him why he's become a dog. So he goes to a mountain and jumps and kills himself. Then is born as a wolf. Then many more species. And lastly, a jackal many other. And a vulture, a crow, a crane. And then finally as a peacock. And as a peacock, once Janak Maharaj threw some Ashwamedh Yajna sanctified water on the peacock. So then he was born as the king of son of Janak Maharaj. And again, this daughter and this queen got married. So our acharyas say that as much as we feel happy to read the glories of bhakti, we must be extremely careful not to commit any offenses knowingly. So this is the result. Second is faithlessness, ashraddha. That is also the example of Duryodhan. So when Duryodhan, Krishna approached him for sandhi, that you gave only 5 villages to Pandavas, and then Duryodhan, he approached Dhritarashtra, Krishna, and then Duryodhan learned, he planned with Dushyasana, let's kidnap Krishna, let's catch him and imprison him. So when he does that, Krishna shows his Virata Rupa, and then what Duryodhan thinks, he's a magician. Now, contrastingly, when Arjun sees the Virat Rupa, his in Bhagavad Gita, after 12th chapter, after this middle section, now Arjun is convinced that he is Supreme Personality of God. And now, 13th chapter, his questions are based on his queries he had from his Vanvas, about the questions he had heard from, the terms he had heard from different sages. That's where the 13th chapter starts. So after seeing the Virat Rupa, so he is convinced, Supreme Personality of God. So this is the example of faithlessness. Third is the offenses that they make one materially oriented. That our focus shifts from devotional service to something else. We may be doing that, but our focus shifts somewhere else. Jeev Goswami gives example of Bharat Maharaj. He says that he was eldest son of Rishabh Dev, great king, renounced. He gave up his dear family and got attached to a deer. That he, while living on the river Gandaki, that's where his ashram was, and he worshipped every day, worshipping Shaligram, meditating on Bhagwan. One day, when he saw that this doe, this mother deer, she gave birth to a child and she ran away. So he saved him. And all that his attention became shifted on this deer. So we may have a project or a service or something or a counselee who may become more dear than, you know, our all attention may get shifted to that activity may become more important than the devotional services. So we have to be careful. So Jeev Goswami himself not satisfied. Later he said, no, that he didn't do that intentionally. Krishna in his mind forced him to do that to give us an example. So the fourth effect is slackening or weakening of devotion. So here they say that it happens why when we start thinking that I am better than others. Whereas a Vaishnava's mindset has to be, everyone is a Vaishnava except me. So that is very, and then what we'll do later, he'll do fault finding. That's where they will start getting their rasa. So example is of Ramachandrapuri. Madhavendrapuri has two disciples, Ramachandrapuri and Ishwarapuri. And both have very opposite behavior. One was so wonderful in his dealing that to glorify him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as his guru, Ishwarapuri. With Ramachandrapuri, he did two major offenses. He criticized his guru and he criticized Krishna, that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he criticized his guru that because he was associating with Mayavadis, when his guru in his last day was chanting name of Krishna, he's telling, why are you remembering Krishna? Remember Brahman. Then his guru kicks him out of that place. So these were the two major offenses. I know where he ends his life is not mentioned, but definitely he did not attracted mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and nor his guru. And fifth outcome offenses is pride. Bhakti should make one humble, because nobody has anything to be proud of. Our true identity is that we are smaller than an atom. So that is that. The more the mercy comes in, the more we practice, the pride should go away. And if it increases, we'll insult others, we'll go berserk by, you know, creating problems in their life. And the example from scripture is of Daksha. Daksha, and because he insulted Lord Shiva, because he always thought himself superior than Lord Shiva. So he was again born as Daksha, and he could not again give up his mentality. He later cursed Narad Muni. So, and from Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have example of Gopal Chapal, because he used to think himself superior than Srivas Thakur. So he tried to insult him, and he was inflicted with leprosy. And another striking example is of Roop Kaviraj, who, while once during his class, great Vaishnavi Krishna Priya Thakurani was attending his class. And because of her devotion, she could not avoid chanting the holy name of the Lord. So he shouted at her in the middle of class, that how can you do two things at the same time? You listen to Bhagavatam or chant, you know, you have no respect for. So because of his offense, he lost the association of devotees and then he died in isolation somewhere in Orissa. So this is very very important that how the whole aspect of these verses is to make us being careful. Now, one precaution, and if we see a devotee suffer, what should we think? Oh, he is offensive? Is he because of because he is offensive, that's why he is suffering? Oh, ye bimar hai. Oh, because he is going through crisis, he must have been offensive. So, bhakti has these qualities, especially the qualities of shubhada, auspiciousness, but it does not manifest for every devotee. It manifests for some special cases, especially Bhagavatam, if you see the case of Prahlad Maharaj. Like everywhere, Krishna protected him. No? You know, it's magical. So when we introduce somebody to Krishna consciousness, but we cannot tell them, oh, everything in your life will become auspicious, all the problems will go away, as it happened with Acharya. Say the Prahlad Maharaj example is exception. It is not universal. Because they give example of Pandavas. That in the lives of Pandavas, even their suffering is manifestation of bhakti. It was not due to prarabdha, any karmic consequence. Vishwanath Chakri Thakur says that bhakti does not manifest all her qualities so that unscrupulous people do not take up to bhakti. She wants to keep it for people who are qualified. A devotee may feel pain like everyone else, but he tolerates it. That's what Krishna inspires us to do. And Krishna says in Bhagavata, Tam titikshasva varta, that's what he is telling to Arjuna. And if it is not inevitable, then find a solution for it. Remove the cause of pain, take medicine. But in our minds, we should try to fix mind on Krishna and know that we are not body and pain is a temporary phase. So this is what I want to share on these two verses. So first I share how Prabhupada is speaking about being very careful not to, you know, kill these innocent creatures. And we have to be very careful. That is because this is based on scriptures. The understanding from the, I shared five principles. First one was to responsibly live in the world. That is to dealing with the prakriti, the other living entities, the rest of the world, principle one. And then the rest four principles, because we are in a devotional space, we are in a community of devotees. We have to lovingly deal with devotees. We have to have attentive connection with holy name, because most of these, of all the aparadhas, most severe is the nama aparadha. Faithful studying scriptures, having full faith in scripture. Yes, I forgot that Ajiv Goswami example of Nriga. He says, Nriga, he says, oh Krishna, you know, I would do all the services to you, everything. And now again, because of your mercy, I have been delivered. So he connects that, if he was doing everything, but why he suffered? He went to hell. Whereas in 6th canto, Yamaraj is saying, bring to me only people who are so offensive. Yet Nriga was taken to hell and punished to get a body of chameleon because he was performing Namaparadha. Because he didn't have faith in the scriptures. He didn't have so much faith. He had more faith in Karma Kand rather than the glories of bhakti. So faithfully studying the scriptures. And fifth is careful assessment of our devotional life. That's where I shared these five offenses, that we have to be very careful and observational of life, that am I suffering from crookedness, faithlessness, slackening faith, attention deviated to somewhere else. And fifth is the pride. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anyone has any corrections? Huh? Sorry? Any questions, corrections, comments? Thank you. Hare Krishna.